This is a recording made by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com. On May 20th, 2009, the United Way Thomas Jefferson area held its annual Awards of Excellence dinner at the Boar's Head Inn. The keynote speaker was Alma Powell, the chair of America's Promise Alliance. Powell is also the wife of former Secretary of State Colin Powell. Powell is introduced by Mark Giles, the chair of the United Way.
We'll continue with the program. I'm Mark Giles, this year's chair of the United Way. Usually when I have my United Way hat on, I speak of the generosity of this community and also the fact that we have a community that I think has a remarkably wide difference between the have and the have-nots. And so compelling need, but I don't need to tell this audience that. And so I really will move right on to my matter at hand, which is the introduction of our guest speaker tonight, Mrs. Alma Powell. I received material over the course of the last week. I received material about Mrs. Powell and her background and what she does, and I'd also looked up some things for myself, and impressive. And I then received, I think on Monday, certainly it was this week, on Monday of this week, I received a note came through that said, Mrs. Powell does not like long, glowing introductions. And I thought, I really like her in addition to being impressive. And I do think that having spent a little bit of time with her this evening, it confirms that a person who doesn't like glowing introductions and laudatory introductions is a person of class and great dignity. So we're very pleased to have you with us. I will say that she has a 40 years worth of involvement in both youth and supporting youth, and also in supporting volunteerism. And it culminates, I think, now with her work as board chair, which she has been at that task of board chair since 2004 of America's Promise Alliance, which is a wonderful effort and initiative to bring together resources to fulfill five promises that are fundamental to young people achieving success in life: connections with caring adults, safe places to be, a healthy start, effective education, and opportunities to help others. She also, by the way, if I may, she is also the author of two children's books. And she is known as she has developed a reputation as a person who puts family first and lives that. And so I think it's wonderful that she has written two children's books, My Little Wagon and America's Promise. So with that, let me introduce our and welcome our guest speaker, Mrs. Alma Powell.
Now that's my kind of introduction. Usually when I'm introduced to in a gathering or at a speech somewhere, I sit there and wonder, who are they talking about? Did I do that? I remember the first time I met my friend Suzanne Morse, who sits here. I chair her board at the Pew Partnership for Civic Change. The first time I met Suzanne, I was honored by the partnership out in Colorado. And it was the Civic Change Award, and I sat there listening to this introduction. And then they started talking about things I had said. And I realized that you have to be careful what you say, because you never know who's listening, and it's going to come back to you. So it's made me a much quieter person, I'll have to tell you. I want to thank you all tonight for inviting me to be here with you on this very special occasion. A gathering of people who care about others. It helps that it was a lovely, sunshiny day to come down this way. I had heard about this from other people who were involved, and I thank you for my friends at State Farm over there who told me 2 or 3 weeks ago, we'll all see you in Charlottesville. And I thought, okay. Well, that's the other thing about going around talking to people, because you have to be careful that they haven't already heard what you talk about. State Farm has heard it a long time. We are very happy to have State Farm as a very important partner of America's Promise. It is important for me to be here tonight because the United Way of America has long been an important national partner and supporter of America's Promise Alliance. And our board is honored and enriched to have Brian Gallagher sit on our board of directors and as an alliance trustee. And you know, it's really heartwarming to be here with you tonight as you honor those who have set such inspiring examples. To those honorees, I say congratulations, and it is through your leadership and leadership like yours that makes our country what it is. In a very fundamental way, the United Way is the American way. When Thomas Jefferson and the other founders of this nation met in Philadelphia in 1776, they not only issued a Declaration of Independence, they made a Declaration of Dependence. Now think about that for a moment. They pledged to each other their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And they knew they all had to hang together. Benjamin Franklin said, if we don't hang together, we'll all surely hang separately. And from the very beginning, we all have depended on each other. Our success as a nation depends on us working together in a united way. And united is the way that America's Promise Alliance works. We have followed that path. America's Promise Alliance was founded in Philadelphia also. In 1997, all the living presidents called a summit, and it was called the Summit for America's Future, because we realized that in a country as rich as ours and full of resources as ours and opportunity, far too many children fall through the cracks. And we know now, 12 years later, that it is not a job that is, those things are not fulfilled easily. When America's Promise, the Alliance, was formed following that summit, it was supposed to exist for 3 years. The idea was to affect the lives of 2 million children by the year 2000. And it was greeted with such enthusiasm. People came from all over the country to that summit. It was a magnificent gathering of organizations and individuals who serve others and who are concerned about the lives of our children. The little red wagon that I wear was adopted as the symbol of America's Promise because it's a symbol of America's childhood. Most of you probably had a little red wagon. I knew somebody who had one. You put your toys in it. Later on, you drag around your garden tools in it or whatever else happens, needs to go in there. But it is a symbol of our childhood, a place to put your hopes and dreams, your treasures, but also your disappointments and your failures. But it has a long gray handle so that when the load is too heavy, an adult can lean down and help pull the load. And that's what we at America's Promise are dedicated to. Those presidents who call that summit affirm that with inalienable rights, we also have undeniable responsibilities to each other. We have promises to keep to young people who are our future. You heard the five promises mentioned before. They're quite simple. It's not brain science. But it's what every child needs to have the foundation to grow and thrive and become a productive individual. You all fulfill most of those promises in your own way. Caring adult in every child's life, a healthy start, safe places to learn and grow when they're not in school, a marketable skill through effective education, and most importantly, an opportunity to give back. After that summit, America came together like you never saw before. There were communities of promise and universities of promise and businesses of promise and banks of promise, all wanting to fulfill these things. And they did. And they did it very effectively. But then 2000 came and you said, you can't stop. The kids are still here. The needs are still great. And so we went on and on to the 10th year. And then we stopped and said, where are we going? Everybody still doesn't have the message. America's Promise cited last year that 25 years ago, there was a national report called A Nation in Crisis, or A Nation at Risk, that outlined many of the things that we needed to do to secure the future of our young people and, in doing so, fulfill our own future. Not a single one of those recommendations had been put into effect. We can bring these needs to the public, but unless you keep at them, they are going to go away. I like to say we all have collective ADD. We can pay attention for a little while, and then something else raises or attracts our attention, and we forget about that problem over there, but it is still there. And our nation, and indeed the world, sits at a tipping point right now. We have seen a number of crises arrive, and we react in horror at them and a little bit of fear, and we've got so many things to worry about. But there's never been a time when we didn't need a united way. There's never been a more important time for America to unite behind the problems that face us. Now let me tell you why this is really, really important, and it's more than the economic crisis. It's more than global warming. It's more than any of the things that the newspapers bring to you every day. It is the future of the children of America. One third of our nation's young people fail to graduate from high school or on time. Every 3 years, we lose another class. Every 26 seconds in the United States, a young person drops out of school. 7,000 a day. From the time you went to work this morning until we gathered here this evening, that many children have dropped out of school. We don't notice. Now, if 7,000 children went missing in the United States, if they disappeared, we would call out all the resources that we have to find them. We'd call out the National Guard, the military, the police, everybody here would be out searching. Where did the children go? Well, you lost them today. And in our cities, the situation is even worse. Last month, we released a report called The Cities in Crisis. It showed that in our 50 largest cities, the graduation rate is barely 50%. For children in these cities, zip codes too often determine their destinies. When children drop out, a world of potential is lost. Dropouts are twice as likely to live in poverty and 8 times as likely to wind up in prison. They're twice as likely to become parents of dropouts and perpetuate the cycle. When children drop out, our economy loses a world of potential. Now, to put that in some perspective, more than 29,000 young people in Virginia were missing from the class of 2008 because they dropped out along the way. Now, if those students had graduated, they would have earned $7.6 billion more in wages over their lifetimes. And with those higher wages, they'd have bought more goods and services and contributed more tax revenues and ensured their children would appreciate the importance of education. If we had saved those dropouts, they'd have saved the state $347 million in health care costs. And if the graduation rate for young men in the state of Virginia goes up by 5%, Virginia will gain $179 million each year in the form of reduced costs and higher revenues. That is a boost that our economy needs. Those that drop out next year, over the course of next year, will cost this nation the same amount or more than the bailout of the banks. We cannot afford this. Now, how do we do this? It's not difficult. Yes, they need education. Yes, we've got to try to keep them in school, but we have to provide those things that they need before they get to school. One of our board members is Joel Klein, the chancellor of schools in New York, and he said, yes, I will join your board because I can't educate the children if they don't come to school ready to learn. And they can't come to school ready to learn if there's nobody there who tells them about the importance of it or who cares what happens to them, that caring adult. They can't come to school and learn if they are not healthy, if they don't feel well, if they have not had breakfast, if they're suffering from a toothache. They can't learn. And they can't, what they learn in school is lost if they don't have a safe place to be and go after school if someone is concerned about what they're doing then. Most of the problems with young people are the crimes that they commit are in the hours after school between 3:30 and 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening when they're on their own and have nowhere and nobody who cares about them. These are the things that we have to be concerned about. We don't have to look at it as the great big picture. Start with one child at a time and keep that promise of America to the promise of America, our children. Now, I'm preaching to the choir here. All of you are concerned and you are being active and busy at fulfilling those five promises. But you have to be the ones to go out and spread the word. When you look at it, there is simply no better anti-poverty program and no better way to improve the health of our communities than ensuring that our students graduate. You want to know how crucial this is? There are some states who look at the reading scores of second graders to determine how many prisons they have to build. It is evident by third or fourth grade the ones who are going to make it and those who are not. Now, every president in recent memory has called us to service. We remember the words of John F. Kennedy saying, ask not what your country can do, but what you can do for your country. And in the Kennedy years, the Peace Corps was founded in Vista, and there was a great spirit of volunteerism. But every other president has called for that, too. President Bush, 41, called for 1,000 points of light. All of you here are one of those points of light. And those points of light have spread around the country, and people are very active in doing things. America's Promise Alliance, in just the last 2 years, has grown from 160 partners to 300 partners, because people are concerned as we take the message out. Last year, we announced our campaign to prevent the dropout, to lower the dropout rate. We as an organization and with all of our partners around the country are conducting 100 summits, dropout summits, one in every state and in the 50 cities with the largest number of dropouts. We did one in Detroit last year, a few months ago, where the graduation rate is 24%. And those young people who drop out of high school, where are they going to go to work? The automobile companies can't hire them anymore. The city of Detroit has no economic base at this point, no job opportunities. What happens to those children who don't graduate? But United Way in that area has dedicated their fundraising for the next few years, a $10 million campaign to work on the problems that exist in Detroit. It is people working together. We like to say at America's Promise that it is the power of we. One can do something, but the power is greater when all of us are involved. In the early days of our country, the Frenchman Elec de Tocqueville came to the United States to see what democracy was all about. They didn't know about this in Europe. It was a new concept. Let's go see what that's about and what it portends for the future of the world. And he traveled across our country observing people as he went, and he wrote in his book, Democracy in America, these Americans are interesting people. They all work together. If someone's house burns down, the community comes together to take care of the family and build a new house. If someone is in need, they give money from their pockets. If someone is hungry, they feed each other. They are a good country. They are great because they are good. If they ever cease to be good, they will cease to be great. You all ensure that future with the work that you do and those that you honor tonight who give such dedicated service. I talk about State Farm. They're just one of our great partners. They knew and listened when we talked about the dropout rate and said, we want to be part of helping this. And so they are a major, major backer of America's Promise. But other people come forward. I always have the exhilarating job of announcing new partnerships. Walmart, Target, the American Academy of Pediatricians, the Council of Governors, the Council of Mayors, all these people meet together and we talk about what needs to be done in one particular city. The Gallup poll has just joined us. They came and said, we'd like to do a poll for you. We will poll young people across the United States twice a year to see how well their needs are being met. They have already done polls in 50 states. We announced it at the beginning of this month, and there were 26 superintendents present at that meeting. And the night of the reception, while we're meeting and greeting each other, the Gallup people took those superintendents over to the side and said, this is what we found out in your community. X number get this, X number get this. This is what they say about this. And this is what they say over here in your community. So that we're trying to gather the facts together that we need to see how you approach the problems. One of the first summits that we held was in Mississippi. It was an exciting, exciting time because that was the first one that I had been to. The state superintendent in Mississippi said, yes, I want to do this. But first, he formed a youth board of young people from across the state, from every economic status, from every class, ethnic group, totally representative of the unit of the children in Mississippi, and said, what makes you drop out of school? The children talked about it, those on that youth board talked about it among themselves, and there were some very interesting and very sad stories that came out of this. And then those kids had a youth summit, and 1,000 young people came to talk about the things that they need to stay in school and the things that schools need to do. We talk about reform, school reform in this country, but I think we have to give an awful lot of thought to what that means. Our educational system is geared towards a different kind of society than we live in. And so we have to find a way to redo the way we teach our children so that they meet the challenges of the 21st century and a world that moves increasingly technical and changes from month to month. They're doing it in other countries. Last year, UNESCO did a survey of 21 developed nations in the world and how well they take care of our children, their children. You know what number we are? Number 20. And this comes as a shock to all of us. Someone said to me when I gave the statistic, how did that happen? I said, we are not paying attention. We assume that because we live in the greatest nation on earth, everything is just hunky-dory. But that's when you get in trouble, when you stop paying attention. I'm pleased to be with all of you here tonight who look at what goes on in your community and look at ways to solve those problems or to address them in some way. You are keeping America's promise, and I'm proud to be with you here tonight, and thank you for all that you do.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Powell. And you know, in many respects, she was describing the Smart Beginnings program, which I think many of you in this room know is about getting kids ready for school and represents a collaboration among a lot of different agencies working together and dividing up the challenge, and a lot of businesses and a lot of civic leaders that add some scale and some real long-term perspective to the program. And so hopefully that will continue to move along in this community.